The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Harold Brown, Chairman and CEO of Guidant. That's an investee company of Tech Capital. TEK is ticker there. Harold, thanks for joining me again.
Hey, it's good to see you again, and thanks for taking the time to do the podcast with me.
Yeah, and we spoke, it must have been over a year ago, but so it's nice to catch up and see how things are, of course. Still cutting edge. Before we go any further and dig into what you're doing there at Guidant, just for people not familiar with Guidant, can you just give us a sort of brief summary as to what the business is about, please, Harold?
Yes, in Guidant, we develop an autonomous vehicle platform, which runs on top of autonomous vehicle software in the car. And with that, we are interacting with the car and add another level of safety, meaning that an AV car can or has another level of safety, a human driver monitoring, and in case of a mishap situation, can take over control of a vehicle. So that is our first use case. And so we make big progress over the last 9 months, and we show some videos about it, what we can do. But in principle, the company's first use case is monitoring and control of autonomous vehicles, and with the objectives and the goal to make AVs A, safer, and B, hopefully steers into a faster adoption rate of AVs in the market.
Yeah, because it's a massive market, and you're right. One of the concerns I think people have is just trusting vehicles, trusting machines to do the jobs that they do safely. And so you've thought of this problem, and you've realized, hang on, there's an in-between step here we need to achieve before we go fully autonomous. So explain to us where, because I've seen lots of cars being tested on programs and stuff. Where are they at the moment? Are they on the road on their own, or what's happening with AVs, autonomous vehicles? At what stage are they at?
So worldwide at the moment, there is no level five autonomy means there is no steering wheel, there's no pedals or whatever in the car, so the car drives totally autonomous. So at the moment, worldwide, there is no car on the road and operate like a level five autonomous vehicle. So it is maximum, I would say, at the moment, level three. And there are some test areas in the US I'm most familiar with, some test areas in California, in Arizona, and some other states. They have within cities covered areas where they can test and where they can drive the car. And there are For several states in the U.S., it's about five or seven right now, they have actually also legal requirements that when you operate a car on public roads, then you need to have a tailor operator controlling, monitoring and controlling in case something happens this vehicle. So that's very, very important. Of course, that supports our objectives, you can imagine, right? Mm-hmm. So long answer, short answer is there is no level five autonomous vehicle operating right now worldwide. So what we wanted to do, of course, is whatever we see on the roads, and you say all the time vehicles, a vehicle can be a car, can be a truck, can be a boat, can be a delivery device, it can be a lot of things. And these devices will, over the next period, will hit the public roads, and the adoption rate, of course, is hopefully taking off very soon. And with an additional level of security, it will hopefully go faster, right? The market is enormous, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to double click on one point you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And that is the people are highly concerned about AVs, right? So they think this is spooky when they see a car going without anybody in it, and don't actually recognize that that would be much safer if we would have more AV cars, on the street. Because in the US, for example, every day 100 people die on car accidents, and that of course is an enormous amount of people, and nobody is really recognizing this to make that safer. But with AV, we have the chance to do it, and still people, when they see it, they really don't believe it. On the other side, they go into an aircraft which already goes or operates 95% autonomous, right? Mm-hmm. And the flight control tower could also take control over that aircraft and could land it, right? So there's a lot of things which we can do in with our company as our first use case, to monitor and also predict based on our data if something happens in the future, and take corrective actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So explain to me how you guys fit into this problem, because the problem's obviously there. There's people, are concerned about there's just autonomous vehicles driving around with no driver. So, the public are worried. Whatever levels of concern are there? Is it at a regulatory level? And where do you get involved with manufacturers? Are manufacturers worried about this as well? Or do they have systems themselves that are going to help this problem? Or
yes.
Are they just looking to guys like you, a third party? And is there anyone else like you out there doing this or what?
Yeah, so that is a very important question, and here's the situation. The AV car manufacturers, they have their own software platform in the car, providing all the functionality, all the features, to have the car drive autonomous, connecting to a mobile network, and have all the features, in the car. What we do is our software platform runs on top of this software. That means we have to have access, an API, an interface, interaction to their software, and provide another level of security while we are having operation centers where we can see the car, we can monitor the car, we can predict things which the AV software in the car might not see or might not recognize, so that a human driver can interact with the car. So the car manufacturing companies don't have a human operator or tailor operator.
Yeah.
Yeah. So meaning there is no driver in it. They of course could do the same job, but this is not a part of their vertical integration, meaning they're building their car, they're building their software, and they sell that what they are, what we just produce. A horizontal integration means that when you bring the car to the public roads, that you have an additional tailor operator recognizing the car, or needs to recognize, so that's the law. A tailor operation need to know where the car is, and also, in case of a mishap, take over control of the car. So override the software of this AV vehicle. Mm-hmm. So that's where we come into place. And of course, the better the software algorithms are, the better we can predict if there will be something happening, or if there is something, if everything is okay, or if we need to just switch on the video, right? And see where the car is, see the surroundings, what's going on, and then take action. I give you a couple of examples there. First of all, in case of a vertical integration, the majority of the AV manufacturers do just build their car, and they build their software and want to sell it and bring it to the market. Mm-hmm. Then when there are requirements, then they say, you can only operate it without a driver when there's a tailor operator. Okay, how do we do a tail operator? So there have to be a management layer, a horizontal management layer over it. And normally they're looking then to outsource that function.
Yeah.
There are another companies, they say, we do it all. An equivalent would be Tesla makes their cars, Tesla makes their AV software, and they have, for example, also already done a vertical integration, a horizontal integration with their charging network.
Yeah.
So they let not other companies do the charging, they do it themselves, right? So that would be a super example of vertical integration, doing everything in the car. And we do also horizontal integration, we providing the charging stations, right? Mm-hmm. And everything else. But a lot of other companies don't do that, right? They're looking for other companies to take that over. So that would be the same situation with the Tele Operation Center. Okay. That we find, companies to want just tele operation sourced out, right? So this is in principle a SaaS model, a software as a service model. That's what our business case is. That is in case of vehicles. In case of delivery devices, it would be that that would be, by the way, in AVs, that would be a subscription-based model. In case of delivery devices, it would be a per delivery charge. So there are total different business models for different use cases.
Yeah, yeah. And so at the moment, like you said, you've got these, I just watched the video there, so it really, you know, shows you how it works. You've got a remote monitored control center, and you've got people mm-hmm. sitting in there, and they've got, obviously, they're interacting with the software, that your software that's been sits on over the software of the vehicle, and they can mm-hmm. take control of these cars if and when they need to. So mm-hmm. and so they're paid by, like I say, a subscription model. So, and how many have you just launched the one so far? Is that right? And is it launched yet, or what state is that at?
We have created this center. Mm-hmm. And so it can be used right now for demos and proof of concept. So meaning in Florida, we have launched an RMCC, so we can bring customers in, which we did. So on a weekly basis is, I would say, one customer right now comes in and takes time to see how we can operate and monitor a vehicle. And so that is live, but there is no live customer on it right now, mm-hmm. right? So there are only a few AV or vehicles, yeah. In test area. So there's no, as I said before, mm-hmm. right, there's no autonomous vehicle on the streets right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and but we are in front of that wave, and and again in states like Florida and Michigan and others, and Alabama and Louisiana and a couple of others, there is that requirement. You mm-hmm. cannot operate an AV without a driver. So, meaning, it is live, and we can demonstrate that we can do that what we are supposed to do: monitor and taking over control. That's also what the video showed, right? So you have yeah. seen the video, right? And you can also...
Yeah, I'd say it's worth watching the video. The people who haven't watched it, because there's like a couple of guys there sitting in front of big screens with on steering wheels. Like it's almost like an arcade driving game they're doing, but they actually got a map in front of them, they can see the cars. Yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
But it's
yeah.
live, but it's real time. Yeah. It's real time, right? Mm. Right. Yeah, so that's the first, as I mentioned, use case, and that's what we do. And yeah, demos are done, proof of concepts are done. So we have interactions with fleet AV, fleet operators. We have interactions with people in smart cities, building smart city projects where they want to have people movers in, autonomous people movers, meaning going from one point to another. The next step, of course, is doing that on demand. You on your smartphone request the vehicles and tell the vehicle where to go. That is this on-demand service. So that would be the next step. We are working with a railway company right now that you in principle say, I'm at whatever, 11:20, I'm at that and that station, and I wanted to go from there to this and this place. So when you come in 11:20 at your station, there's your car. And it drives you there, right? So that would be an on-demand service. And there are some other people, people mover or like people transportation services, right? Mm-hmm. Where you have 6-8 people in a car and it goes, from place to place, yeah? Mm-hmm. And you have not the big buses, the combustion engine buses, operating these routes. So there's a lot of interest. I mean, there are so many use cases. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So but at the moment, the focus areas for us is transportation service, transportation as a service, delivery services, and fleet operators, AV fleet operators.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, do you know what? I've learned something from your presentation there. I knew about total addressable markets being TAM. I didn't know about SAM and SOM though, which I've learned about, which of course are more specific. And so the total addressable market thing here is obviously huge. It's 41.7 billion, but then yeah. the serviceable addressable market is still, you know, run about 20 billion. And where you can, you know, get in there and obtain the serviceable, obtainable market is still over 10 billion. So it's still a big market, isn't it?
It is a very big market. And we wanted to boil that down because we cannot address the whole 445 billion market just on the autonomous vehicle market, right? So we boiled it down to a service obtainable market, which we think we can obtain, which is the US only and only for autonomous shuttle market, right? So that already isn't a 7 billion. And when you are capturing just 5% of this with a certain annual monitoring fee, which nobody knows what it is at the moment, right? Because it's not done yet. Right? So, and when you would swim in a blue ocean there, of course, you can, create a market price. That seems to be, for me, a very big opportunity.
Okay. And so you said you're testing now that remote monitored control center. What's the next steps then, Harold? What's along the line of development here?
Let me focus on one more thing. When you, for example, that was the people mover market or the last mile, or this transportation service market. This is already big, but when you go into the last mile delivery market, this is even a bigger market. So this, when you boil that down to an obtainable market in the US only for self-driving vehicles and ground delivery services for last mile, it is a 10.5 billion market. It is even higher. And a lot of people, and we will observe the market, a lot of people actually think that will hit first. That will be the first to go to market. So we will see. The good news is we can address with this use case several market, vehicle to anything market, the last mile delivery market, the autonomous vehicle market. We can address different industry segments like agriculture, like the mining industry, everywhere, government, military, everywhere where you have vehicles driving into dangerous situations or in situations where you just want to get rid of the driver, right? Or where it's much more effective and efficient to do it autonomous other than having, in an agricultural environment, going with a tractor 10 miles one way and come back the other 10 miles another way and then do that all day long, right? So, and that would be also in a geo-fenced area, would be even more important. Nothing will happen on that field, right? So it would be a perfect use case for AVs.
Absolutely. Cool. All right. And so just a previous question there. So the next step for you guys is what, Harold? What's next for a milestone?
So the next milestone is, of course, bring customers on the remote monitoring and control center. And that, of course, depends on the getting AVs on the road, right? So that, that autonomous vehicles will go hit the road in the US and elsewhere according to certain government regulations. That, of course, is important because otherwise we don't need to monitor and control anything, right? So that's one thing. The second big thing is the delivery companies, which are already hitting the market right now with smaller delivery devices, work with them and onboard them into a remote monitoring and control center. So that's one thing. Second thing is an R&D. So go-to-market is, of course, a very big focus area. Second thing is that in R&D, we're looking at some functionalities which I think can bring us in the forefront in the industry. One thing is we claim at the moment that we believe we have the lowest latency in the marketplace right now, and we do that in a public mobile networks, but we have also built around our offices in a private LTE network. Building our own and having our antenna, our E-Node B, and also our virtual EPC, advanced packet core, and in a mile by a mile, of course, that depends on how many antennas we put on, We can operate in our own LTE network, right? So that we created our own mobile network. That, of course, is very important for us as smart cities, for example, or to other areas which one have a geo-fenced area, right? Mm-hmm. So that is what we are rolling out right now. We have that established in our office. So we bring in customers over there and they can test that as well. In R&D is also very important that we add functionality to these dashboards you saw there in the video, where people are driving actually the car, so that we have more all the telemetric data from cars mm-hmm. displayed in the dashboard. Mm-hmm. Then the next one is there also to do video stitching, meaning all the cameras, all the video streams from the different cameras, we will stitch together. Right, so that you have more a surround view, but not from one camera, from different angles. Right, so there is some art to this. So that's what the team is working on right now. Yeah.
Excellent stuff. So exciting times ahead. And like you say, there, you know, no matter how advanced AVs get, this extra layer is always going to be needed, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Even if you would have a fully, and there are some very simple requirements. So when you study some laws from the US or even from Germany, just passed the legislation 6, 7, 8 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And when you read this legislation, it is almost like a requirement spec. And there are very simple functionalities in. For example, there is a functionality in that you need to have a kind of a interaction with the passengers, like an intercom, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. From a human being. So when you have an AV and the AV is running around and nobody talk to, or something is happening or whatever, you can not talk to anybody. But here, when you have a teleoperator there, which has a one-to-N relationship to different cars, so one operator, of course, needs to monitor and control, if needed, several cars. Otherwise, the business case would not work, right? That teleoperation could interact with the passengers, or vice versa, the people in the car could interact with a human being in a teleoperation center, because there is no other human being in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, so there's a very simple kind of functionalities. There are more than those functionalities, of course, required. And you, as you mentioned, this is needed for the... For a long time,
yeah. And not only that, but in especially like you say, agriculture is spot on. It's always going to be needed, because I mean, you don't need a person in the car. There's no immediate danger to the public in a massive field in the middle of nowhere. But you need intelligence within that cab monitoring what you're doing. So that's it's very good.
Yeah, no. I mean, a different segment is in mining, right? We just had an interaction with a company in the northern part of Chile, right? Where they lost a truck, right? Mm-hmm. And they lost a truck because the teleoperator could not interact with that truck in time, and it went off the cliff. Right? Thanks God, nobody was hurt, but it was clear the latency was too big for this, and there was on top of this there was also an outage, right? Mm-hmm. So there was no redundant system. So yeah, thanks God there was no driver in the car, and there was nobody in the mine, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But you know, in these cases, in the mining industry, they have even the mining equipment autonomous. And then also the trucks autonomous. There's everything autonomous, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's nobody monitoring it. Mm-hmm. It is insane, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so there are many, many fields, applications and use cases, goes from whatever infrastructure projects to the transportation services, to the agriculture, to the mining, to the government, to the military, right? So and the good news is we can address with that use case many different industry segments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Harold, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. In the meantime, good luck on the weekend, because you're taking on a big run on the London Marathon. So good luck for that, and we'll speak soon. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.